Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, and welcome to Ministering God's Way Fivefold. Ministering God's Way is brought to you by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to save, heal, deliver, and set the captives free. Today's topic is worship at His feet. Worship at His feet. Our scripture is coming from the fourth chapter of the book of St. John, and the 23rd through the 24th verse. That's the fourth chapter of the book of St. John, the 23rd through the 24th verse. And it reads, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come right now boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy in the time of need. Father God, we're asking today on Ministering God's Way that you will come into our hearts in the listening audience, Father, and let us hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Worship at your feet. Worship at your feet. Father God, we know that worship, Father God, that you have a desire for us to worship you, and you seek as such to worship you. Father, give us that heart's desire, Father, that runs deep down within, Father God. That's not a show externally, but it is internal, Father, in our hearts, to seek and to desire your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, and your righteous will and your righteous way. And Father, after it's all said and done, let us apply it to our lives each and every day, Father God, to worship you, the true and living God, in Jesus' name. Amen. And praise God. Good afternoon and welcome to Ministering God's Way Fivefold. I'm so excited today. We have a great show today. Worship at His feet. We mean Jesus' feet. There's no other person that we would be referring to or spirit, because God is a spirit, and that is Jesus Christ. And we're talking about worshiping at His feet. Romans in the first chapter and the 25th verse, we hear and we see in God's word that who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever? So we're living in a time today where people have changed their way, and even changed the law of God and turned it into a lie. Amen? We don't apologize for the Word of God. The Word of God is true, and it's powerful and it's quick. And what God is calling for today is for us to desire the true and living God. Not to worship man, the creature, but the creator who created the creature. Amen? That's who we are to worship, the true and living God. What is worship? Worship is an adoration and a reverence and an awe for God. And when we praise God, we can sing, we can dance, we can shout. But worship is more than just an emotion. It's a adoration where we just lift our hands in total surrender to God, and we bow down to him in our spirit man, because we have so much reverence and honor and awe of who he is and his power. God tells us also, read that first chapter of the book of Romans. He talks about it. Judgment is going to come, and the wrath of God comes on children of disobedience, because people are changing the word of God, the truth, which is the word of God. God is truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And they're turning it into a lie. And God is not a man that he should lie. God is a spirit, and he wants us to worship him at Jesus' feet. We look at also in the fourth chapter of the book of St. John, where the Samaritan woman meets Jesus. And Jesus tells her everything about her, that she was not only a Samaritan woman, but she had five husbands. And the man that she was with was not her husband. And she was a Samaritan, and salvation came through the Jews, and she did not understand how Jesus, or this man who was a Jew, could come and ask a Samaritan woman for a drink of water. Well, Jesus tells her that there's some water that you need, and that's the water of the fountain of life that springeth up in you, and that will lead you until eternal life. This woman says, well, I know and I heard that the Messiah, Jesus, is coming. And Jesus told her, if you knew the gift of God, you would realize that you were talking to the Messiah, the great I Am. And so she realized that she had a experience and an encounter with the Holy Ghost and Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And as she met this Messiah, she left him and went into the town and into the city, and she told others that she had met a man, glory, hallelujah, that told her everything she did. Then the Samaritans came into the town where Jesus was. And they not only believed the Samaritan woman, but they believed by the word of God. And they also believed in the signs that Jesus wrought, the miracles that he wrought in that time. Jesus is a wonder. He is a wonder to my soul. And when I think, and when everyone can think, if you really sit back and think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you, your soul cannot do anything else but cry out hallelujah. When you wake up to see another day, when you realize that there is a shortage of water in California right now, these are natural resources that we take for granted, electricity, water, and God gives us, water, he gives us the sunlight, the daylight, and he gives us land. But a lot of times we don't really appreciate those natural resources that God gives us because we're so used to being spoiled and used to having those things. And when God takes those things away from us, then we can see who he is and why he came, and that we realize that we have been selfish and we have been spoiled and that we have not utilized the natural resources that God has given us. So when you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, it becomes a relationship like none other. It has so much intimacy where you can be not. We're not just only talking about worshiping the Lord when you are in a corporate sanctuary and having corporate worship. We're talking about worship at His feet. It's a personal relationship that you don't need to be in a sanctuary or house of prayer. Worship is within. Worship is in your heart. Desire Jesus Christ. And if you lack that desire, ask Him. Because and we just read in the fourth chapter of St. John that He seeks those that worship Him. He seeks after those people. He seeketh such that worship Him, that desires Him. If you desire the Lord, then He's going to bless you. Because what did His word tell us? He says if we delight ourselves in Him, He would give us our heart's desires, the desires of our heart, if we delight ourselves in Him. That's worship, just delighting in the Lord, you know, honoring the Lord, worshiping Him in the beauty of holiness, sanctification, purity, not worrying about what others might say when you are in corporate worship. When you're in your worship and you have so much reverence for the Lord, you don't care who's around you. You're not thinking about what they're thinking about you or what they may be saying about you because you know who you worship. You worship the man that created them, the spirit that created them. Amen? Amen. Because God is a spirit. He did come to earth in the form of a flesh, of a man. And we know that God wants us to walk worthy in the vocation wherewith He's called us and to not bring forth strange fires. Amen? Strange fire. What is a strange fire? Some people offer up strange fires in the house of God. Strange in the Hebrew means unauthorized, profane. If we read in the Leviticus, the eighth chapter of Leviticus, we find out that Aaron's sons, God took them away from this earth because of some strange fire that they offered up to the Lord. They offered up some incense with strange fire, the Bible tells us, to the Lord. And God took them away from this earth. Aaron, their father, he had offered up so many sacrifices in the tabernacle of God. But somehow the Bible does not tell us the nature of the strange fire that Aaron's sons had offered up, but it was an incense of strange fire. And we know that strange in the Hebrew is unauthorized or profane. So it was some type of, it was a disappointment to the Lord. And so this is why God tells us that we must worship Him in spirit and in truth, the Holy Spirit. Because there are other spirits out here, and all spirits aren't of God, and all spirits aren't holy. It's one Holy Spirit, and that comes from God. And so we want to be careful that we're not trying to fit in or to blend in to our within our local congregation or general assembly, because those can be strange fires that are offered up before God. And God is a jealous God. He is jealous. He is a jealous God. He does not want us whoring around with other gods. He doesn't want us to worship our spouse more than we worship Him. He doesn't want us worshiping anything, for that matter, our jobs, our cars, our homes. He wants us to worship Him. And we're living in this time. The Bible tells us in the fourth chapter of St. John, in the 23rd verse, He says the hour has come. He said the hour has come. and now is, that they that worship him, that when the true worshipers, he says, the when true worshipers. So that means there are some false worshipers out here, just like there are false gods and false prophets and false teachers and false evangelists and false apostles. So he says, for the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers, true now worshipers, shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. The Father seeketh such to worship him. So we find here in this 23rd verse that there are true, these are true worshipers, if you're going to be a true worshiper of God. So we want to ask God to come into our hearts, to allow us to have a personal and establish a personal relationship with him, that we may honor him in all things, we may adore him, and that we may reverence him. Even when you go, your worship is a characteristic of your behavior and your attitude. We can worship God in so many different ways, in our actions, in our thoughts, even in our emotions. Worship is an attitude. It's in you. It's in your heart. It's an emotion that comes from the Lord, the Holy Spirit. It's an affection and a deep love. And when you love someone, you are passionate. You have passion for them, great passion. And it goes deep within, and it goes beyond measure, because you can't measure it, the love or the passion. When you love something, you can't measure how much you love them. If you love something, you really, if you truly love something, it's a love that's, it could be, we're talking about an agape love. We're not talking about a conditional love. We're talking about unconditional love. It's no measure. There's no measure on it. So we just, when you love something, you become, when you love the Lord, you have so much passion for him, adoration for him, that whatever his will is for your life, you are going to obey it. Amen? And I know worship is, we don't see a lot of it in a lot of churches, but now it's the time. The hour has come, and the time is now. If you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord, you cannot worship the Lord. So first, you have to have a personal relationship. How do you have a personal relationship with him? You accept his word. You repent of your sins. You are baptized in Jesus' name, and you're filled with the Holy Ghost. And then God can work some things out in your life. He can work. He can move. His Holy Spirit can dwell within you. And I know I love the Lord. He heard my cry, and he pitied my groan. And as long as trouble rise, I'm going to hasten to God's throne. I praise the Lord, and I worship him in the beauty of holiness. There's nothing to just get down on my knees in the sanctuary, just reverencing Jesus Christ as Lord, honoring him, surrendering. If he decides to slay me in the spirit, I surrender. Lord, have thy way. Have thine own way. That's worship. That it's not my will, but Lord, your will be done in my life. And I know I have a good friend, Sister Anna Coleman, Anoxipater, Mississippi. She has a testimony that's like none other. God has brought her back from sickness and even her deathbed several times. But yet she continues to serve the true and living God. And I noticed at our local assembly, at Calvary Apostolic Church, we're temporarily located at 118 South Church Street in Louisville, Mississippi. And sometimes, well, not at all, sometimes, it's all times, I notice and the pastor notices that if nobody else is going to give God a praise, if nobody else is going to worship the Lord, we're going to see this woman of God worship him. She has been sick. God continues to heal her. He continues to bless her. Sometimes she doesn't come in feeling so good, but she's going to serve the true and living. She's going to worship the Lord because she knows from whence her help cometh. Glory, hallelujah. She knows the true and living God because she has a personal relationship with him. She knows him as master. And I know she always will tell me if he, she says, I know God is able and that he can do it. She says, and if he doesn't do it, I know that he's able. Amen. And I believe she's on the phone lines. Let's go in and see if she will take our call. Praise the Lord.
Praise
good afternoon.
The Lord.
Praise the Lord, Sister Coleman. How are you this afternoon?
Just fine. I am very good.
And, you know, Sister Coleman, you have been, I mean, you have been on Ministering God's Way tuning in ever since this inception of April 2011. And I know that you know the Lord, and I just thank God for you being in my life when I transitioned here to Mississippi. And you have been a very good friend of mine, and I know that spirits recognize spirits, and I recognized your spirit when I first met you, and Pastor James A. Young introduced us, and I was so grateful to him and still grateful to him for introducing us because you and I share a love for the Lord like none other. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I know God has brought you, he's brought you back from your deathbed how many times?
I done lost the count. It's been so many.
It's been so many. But God is just that good, isn't it?
He's good all the time. I can't help but to praise him.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Amen. And as we were saying, how we noticed, I was making an observation, how if nobody else going to stretch out and stand out, I love the Lord. I'm going to praise the Lord, but we worship in spirit and truth. We just don't, you know, it has to be a truth there. You just don't pretend to worship the Lord. It has to be a sincerity about it. And I know that you will always, you're going to show forth the praises of God, and not only show forth the praises of God, excuse me, but you're going to worship the Lord. Amen. And just,
yes,
I am. Tell us, just briefly, tell us about who do you know Jesus Christ? What do you know him as in your life, your personal relationship? What do you,
I
who
know,
do you know?
I know that he is a healer. I know that he's my everything. I know that he stands by me, and he always bring me out of the storm. And I stand on his word, and I know he's my everything.
Amen. He's your everything, everything. He's everything to me. And that's good because a lot of times we look in, you know, single women, they want to be married. And, you know, there are a lot of people, some people, they just have to have someone in their life, and they don't really know that if they establish a personal relationship with the Lord, that he can be everything that they need him to be. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Everything
Amen.
That I need.
Amen.
He
yeah, and he's
my everything.
Yeah, he's a doctor. He's a doctor. He's a doctor. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the great physician. He's a great physician and the great I am. He's a lawyer in the courtroom. He is everything. If you need him to be an accountant, if you need him to be your your Lord and Savior. He's waiting, and he's there. He can save your soul. And Jesus saves from the utmost to the uttermost. Jesus saves. And I know him personally, and I know I had to realize that there was no greater love, no greater love in this earth. And if everyone could know, realize in the world, people look for love in all the wrong places. They look for love in a relationship. They look for love in a drug. They look for love in sex. They look for love in rock and roll. But the love is in Jesus Christ. There's no greater love. No greater love than a man that lay his life down, hallelujah, for his friends. And Jesus calls us a friend. He said, you know, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and grief to bear. See, we have a friend. His name is Jesus Christ, and he said that he sticketh closer than any brother. And in this hour, the Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter, talks about that to everything, there's a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven. And this is the time God is saying, this is the time. He said, the hour is come. He said, and it is now, as now, and now is, that the true worshipers, and in that, when the true worshipers, the true worshipers now, not the false worshipers, but that when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, and they that worship him must, he said, not only worship him, but just worship him. Don't worship him with a false pretense or any vain grandizement. Worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And I just thank the Lord. I praise him for, and that's why I just can't stop talking about the Lord, because I know he is Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. He is an everlasting Father. He is a wonderful counselor, and his name is Jesus. He is the great I am. And he's coming back. He's coming back for a church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, or any such thing. And what we need to do is prepare ourselves for the King. We need to make the grand entry ready. We need to pull the red carpet out, because the true and living God is on his way back. We need to make our entrance. We need to make his entrance. We need to prepare for the soon and coming King's arrival. We don't want to be caught with our works undone. We don't want to be left behind. We want to worship while we have the time. Worship at Jesus' feet. Not man's feet. Worship at Jesus' feet. Don't be like a Romans, the first chapter, and change the word of God and change the word of God into a lie. Don't do that. Don't change the word of God. Don't change the law and turn it into a lie, because God's judgment will come. And his wrath is coming on the children of disobedience. Jesus is Lord, and we're so happy. Thank you so much, Sister Anna Cohen, for tuning in today. I know next Saturday we have Cherie Monique Whitfield of Aberdeen, Mississippi. She is going to be releasing and talking about her new CD release, gospel CD release, Monique, Nobody But Jesus. So get ready to tune in next Saturday. She has a powerful testimony of how God healed her of cancer. And we want you to tune in next Saturday, 2 p.m. Central Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Time, to hear that great testimony that God has given Sister Cherie. She told the Lord she had a lot of work to do, and she couldn't. Cancer was in her way, and it had to be removed. And God healed her in a miracle church service. We love you. God bless you. And remember, Jesus is Lord.